My freedom comes with the moonlight. A dim ray, broken and scattered by my wooden shutters, spreads over the pine floor of my room. My toes tingle with anticipation beneath the heavy checkered quilt Mother sewed for Rebecca and me. The time for dancing draws nigh. Click! The rock striking our window ledge quickens my heartbeat. Something is wrong. The moonlight should be spread over floorboards, not one, ere it would be the proper time to leave. A quiet voice floats through my window. Sarah! Shh! Another hushes. Rebecca stirs beside me on the straw pallet we share. I stroke her flaxen hair ere she wakens further. All is well, sweet sister, I soothe. Go back to sleep. My limbs tense anew. Father will surely wake to their voices soon. I wait, listening. He can be silent as a barn owl in flight when he chooses. Still, even he cannot rise from his rickety bed without its creaking under the movement. I hear nothing but my own heart pounding. Sarah, the quiet voice calls again. It must be Emma. An ever-present fear has clouded her since she heard tell of the Indians who raided and slaughtered throughout the Carolina Territory. I suppose it hardly matters to her. Most of the savages were put down a year ago. September passed. I sweep our quilt of muted blue and white over her head. The breeze from the open window tickles my bare feet and drifts up my thighs like a feather tracing against my skin. I shudder and revel in its chill. The same feelings I hope to continue at the moon dance. I gather my thin leather shoes in hand, turn toward my escape. Though my windsill is but three quick steps away, my path holds creaky floorboards that will betray my otherwise silent movements. I step over the first of them and leap sideways to avoid the next two. The fresh scent of strung dried lilacs from my room dissipates the moment I poke my head outside of our window. Odors of farm life, sweet-smelling heifers, excrement-sowing swine, and the like, blend together in the night air. 50 yards away, our four-storied barn is a hulking gravestone casting its long shadow over our homestead. Well, so opens Salem's Vengeance by author Aaron Galvin. And what a story it becomes. Vengeance, deceit, family bonds of love and concern, weakness wrought from fear of commitment, and the power and strength of anger. These are the building blocks of today's story. Long ago, you see, in the dim colonial past, a brave and intelligent people found themselves besieged by an enemy they did not understand, an enemy who drew their power from the unseen world of darkness and evil, from a mysterious drug, which we know today as a hallucinogen, that seemed to originate in hell. Our story revolves around a young lady named Sarah and her family of colonial homesteaders, carving out a life for themselves at the edge of the wilderness in the Carolina Territory. The family find themselves menaced and then threatened with death by a ragtag group of angry young women, witches, who had been exiled from the distant town of Salem, Massachusetts, witches who have come to seek vengeance for their persecution in that now fabled town. This storm of violence and death sweep down upon Sarah, her kin, her community, and her friends, thanks to acts of treachery and greed that were precipitated many years ago during those evil months of the Salem witch trials, when fear and mob violence and death took over that small Massachusetts town. As our story opens, a secret nightly gathering of young women, whom we soon enough learn are the exiled witches from Salem, at first bring the joy of music and dance under the nightly moon to many innocent young women of Sarah's small rural community, a joy, as we just heard, that Sarah and her friends experience all the more keenly as they dance under the moon without their parents or the churches knowing. But too soon, the evil of Salem erupts in the woodsy margins of the small community, enthralling several young women into the witch's snares and prompting the tragic outing of Sarah's father as a renegade from the horrors of Salem. For it is Sarah's father who claims to know a cure for the bewitching of the community's young women, and in so doing, comes to the attention of the witches and their evil companions. Murder and vengeance ensue, and before the story is done, nearly every pious member of Sarah's family and their neighbors is riven with anger and fear, surprised by the aid provided to Sarah, her family, and the townsfolk by a pair of old-world witch hunters whose backgrounds are murky and whose words, though not their actions, are few. Here is intrigue, mystery, suspense, and not a little romance in this story of the past. Salem's Vengeance has a long pedigree of sorts. In this story, we can discern shades of tales collected and retold by the Brothers Grimm some 100 years after our story takes place, and shades of 300 years hence, when Children of the Corn scared the bejeebers out of moviegoers across the nation. Salem's Vengeance, then, can be read as a tale larger than the story it tells. The human foibles of the past reflect sometimes too well our fears still today. As another reviewer has noted, quote, "Forbidding a teen from joining in on things her friends are doing without a good reason was just as volatile a situation in Salem, Massachusetts in the 1600s as it is today. Sarah wanted to dance, have innocent fun with her friends, but what she found was a witch's coven, dark magic, and a priestess who claimed to be the devil's daughter. What started out as a simple act of defiance by sneaking out of her home grows into a nightmarish bloodbath filled with strange substances, sacrifice, and the horrors that Salem's witches were long accused of." End quote. Through our protagonist Sarah's eyes, we enter into a time when fear based on belief in witchery was rampant among American colonials and among their compatriots in Europe. It was a time when the hidden world of spirits was used by real-life religious leaders like Reverend Cotton Mather to inspire more fear than wonder among these religiously focused settlers. And it was a time when the dark woods beyond the small farm fields held not so much wonder as fear. For this was also a time when Native Americans were a threat to the colonial settlers, a threat that was willingly reciprocated. It was a time different from ours in other ways, too. For the people of colonial America, the local church was more than a place of Sunday worship. It was the locus of social gathering and leadership in the community, and a place of physical safety in times of trouble. But not all is mayhem. Sarah Kelly shares the quieter times of her life with us as well, taking us into her daily struggles, which we are reminded were many when you are the eldest daughter, making a new life on a rough-hewn farm perched on the edge of the dark woods. And Sarah's small moments of joy and happiness ring as true as the hard labor that every family member must do every day to keep their farm a going concern. As another reviewer noted, quote, "Aaron Galvin has spared nothing in bringing history to life in all of its ugly glory. It is as if we are standing alongside the characters, feeling the fear of the unknown, smelling the stench of unwashed bodies, and wanting to do anything to help Sarah." This book reads as an old-style gothic, and I enjoyed it. Though I wasn't completely sold on the romantic elements, I thought it was well-crafted, full of mystery, tragedy, and terrifyingly brutal violence. This book pulls no punches. Well, author Aaron Galvin, whom I am glad to say spoke about his writing and his acting career with us at the West Lafayette Public Library earlier this year, does indeed draw no punches when describing the often dark interior lives of these characters. Their inner lives are as gripping and conflicted as their outward actions. And so even as they build a new community in the harshness of the colonial landscape, Sarah and her family's strong prejudices and restrained emotional lives are well developed. We are reminded that Puritan society was a time when children were expected to be seen more than heard, when the husband of the home was the undisputed leader of the family, and the mother was housekeeper, farm maid, and helpmeet. It was a world that placed discipline and a never-ending respect for biblical tradition ahead of social niceties, yet moments of kindness and decency blossom throughout our story as well. In the end, Salem's Vengeance is a tale for our time, a frightening and ultimately loving tale for readers of many ages. And take note, Salem's Vengeance is the first novel in a projected trilogy. There is more excitement, horror, and yes, romance yet to come. Let's finish with just a little bit more. We pick up our story as Sarah leaves her home and begins to head for the dance in the woods. The corn crackles three rows over like teeth chattering the grip of a January nor'easter. Emma draws closer to me. I step forward. Who comes? One who has no fear of the darkness. Ruth's skin, pale even in daylight, is luminous by night. She has discarded her white bonnet and scandalously tied back her raven hair with a scarlet ribbon. She closes her eyes, tilts her head back to inhale the night air. Art thou ready to dance, sisters? Emma releases her hold on my dress. You should not have left me. You should not have remained behind, Ruth replies curtly. The moon dance waits for no one, nor do I. A cold wind harrows through the corn, confirming her claims, ushering us ahead. I step in the earthen path beneath the rose. The hard dirt warns of a frost soon to come. I am glad of it. The solidity will not reveal our tracks so easily as in wet spring or dry summer. Come, I say to my friends, we should not tarry. We walk for nigh half an hour to our destination. Only at night am I truly free, I say, free to do as I will, with no one to speak otherwise, or... Listen, Emma says. I hear it too, the quiet beginnings of a measured symphony wandering over the night sky, the gay pipes call to the woods spirits of Pan. Each hypnotic beating of drums beckons us to venture further. The gathering starts without us. Ruth and I grin at one another. Race you to the woods! She runs ahead without waiting for me, nor do I pause. I fear my lungs will give out ere we reach the end of the field. The drums beat as one with my heart to lend me strength. I pass her at the last, bursting from the field and into the clearing of dandelions. It's quite a novel, and as I said, it's the first of a trilogy, Salem's Vengeance, by author Aaron Galvin. It's a fantastic read, whether you read it by day or maybe by night. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.